Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
What's happening, Andy Hoosier, filling in for the great Mark Walters today on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Great to have you along today. It is a Monday. It's a beautiful day, and I'm curious to see a show of hands on how many individuals just could not survive the day, could not survive the morning, could not survive their life with the government shutdown today. I'm curious to see how many people, I mean, I don't know if your alarm didn't go off, maybe your car didn't start, maybe your breakfast didn't cook, your coffee didn't boil. I'm curious to see how many people actually suffered dramatically today with the government shutdown. Welcome into Armed American Radio. Andy Hoosier filling in, hailing from the center of the country, literally, in Wichita, Kansas. I'm the morning show host here on KQAM, also now on TV as well, if you're in the local area, KGPT-TV. And it's a great time to be able to talk about the issues today. Mark Walters kind of heading out west. He's actually flying, I believe, at the moment, as he's heading out to Las Vegas for the big show. It's going to be great. He'll be broadcasting from there all week long, and you'll get some updates from there. You can find Mark at armedamericanradio.org. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/MidAmericaReason, and you can find my show there. And we talked a little bit about this on Friday. Mark brought up some really good points when I got to guest with him last week, but he had talked about some of these states that were, we had talked about the immigration and the government shutdown. Then we talked about some of the states, and I want to get into both of those again a little more extent today and get your thoughts on some of these. But first off, the government shutdown, apparently, I guess it was nice while it lasted, but now they've officially come to their senses, at least the Democrats have tried to, realize they had no chips on the playing field and that they have to give up their government shutdown. And see, well, that's, maybe it's not going to happen there. Let's try this again.
After several discussions, offers, counteroffers, the Republican leader and I have come to an arrangement. We will vote today to reopen the government, to continue negotiating a global agreement, with the commitment that if an agreement isn't reached by February the 8th, the Senate will immediately proceed to consideration of legislation dealing with DACA. The process will be neutral and fair to all sides. We expect that a bipartisan bill on DACA will receive fair consideration and an up or down vote on the floor.
You know what this really means? That was Chuck Schumer on the floor today speaking right before they voted on it in the Senate. You know what this actually means? And you want to tie this into guns? It's a perfect way to actually be able to tie this in. When they talk about gun regulation, they talk about common sense. They talk about a fair playing field. They talk about trying to protect everybody and ways that you can protect yourself that has to actually have to use a firearm. They talk about how everybody has these big, scary guns, and it's a terrible ordeal, and we can't be having big, scary guns like that, and how we need to protect the innocent individuals that don't have guns. This is the same talking points that they're having with the government shutdown and with wanting to reopen the government. As we talk about DACA, what did he say? That we're going to have a fair debate. We're going to have a level playing field debate. How does that even make sense when it comes to DACA? How does that even make sense when you talk about immigration? We should be having a fair debate, as in, what does the law say? And the law says that if you're here illegally, you're here illegal and you will be deported. End of story. That's not fair. They were here as kids. Okay. And you've had 30 years to reconcile that. What have you done to fix that? Maybe you're trying to do the process. If you're trying to do the process, then fine. Here's how the bill should look. And I find this to where the Republicans, if they had agreed to this, set themselves up to fail because they have no negotiating skills. Whether it's guns, whether it's immigration, whether it's taxes, they don't have negotiation on their side. They don't know how to do it. They haven't known how to do it for a really, really long time. They failed at negotiations for a really, really long time. Because to them, negotiation and compromise for the longest time meant you give the Democrats everything that they want so that way the Democrats can get on board with it. And then they say, hey, look at this. We have bipartisanship and we compromised. And that's not what it is. If Republicans agreed to this, which I know it's very vague, and right now the Republicans feel like they actually have a little bit of power because the Democrats conceded and opened up the government again, which is what we needed to some degree. I don't know if we necessarily needed it because, hey, the government was shut down and no one died. I know it's a very weird situation to where the government's not there to help you and hold your hand every step of the way for 24 hours, but guess what? It happened. They were shut down all weekend, too, and guess what? It didn't matter. Everybody still lived. You still got to enjoy your weekend. You still got to go outside and enjoy the park if it was warm in your area. You got to go do things. The government shutting down is not a terrible thing. And now the Republicans feel like they have a little bit of power and control by the Democrats conceding. But they said that they're going to do a vague discussion on DACA. Is this how they negotiate about guns? Or how they're going to negotiate about guns? Is this how they're going to negotiate on anything? On Obamacare that we failed to repeal last year? On the tax bill that we didn't need the full 60 votes in the Senate, so that's why we were able to scrape through it with the 50 votes? Is that how we're going to work in the government now? It's a very concerning situation, because if they're able to compromise that easily on immigration, what's to say that they're not going to compromise that easily on your Second Amendment? They've tried it. And I guess you could kind of say that they did that with the Fix Nix bill with the national reciprocity that, by the way, as long as I'm aware of, it still has not passed. Which I get it. They're working on the budget. They're working on taxes. They're working on DACA. They're working on immigration, but as far as I'm aware of, the national reciprocity and the Fix Nix bill is still sitting there, not doing anything. And that was their compromise, and I'm okay, honestly, with that compromise, because it didn't do anything, the Fix Nix part of it. It's irrelevant, and I know Mark's talked about that ad nauseum. I've talked about it before. It doesn't matter. It's not that big of a deal. But if Republicans think, look, how long, first off, let me ask you, did it take to actually do tax reform? Or tax cuts, not even a reform, just a tax cut. How long did it take them to do that? Two, almost 3 months? And they passed it right at the nick of time at the end of December, right before Christmas holiday? And it was a success. Now the Republicans are opening themselves up to saying, we're going to do a discussion and a debate on DACA and immigration reform within a two-week span of expanding the budget for 2 weeks. And we're going to compile an entire three-month debate and discussion and writing of bills into 2 weeks. We're going to vote on it. And if it doesn't happen, then we'll concede to you and we'll start voting on the amnesty of illegal immigrants and DACA recipients. Does that sound like it's okay? Does that sound like it's going to work? Now, hopefully, they were just like, yeah, just kidding. And if you want to shut down the government again, then that's on you, not on us. But we have bigger issues to address here. We have national reciprocity sitting there waiting to pass. One of the largest gun rights bills that we've seen in a long, long time. Some individuals say that it's the biggest one since the Second Amendment was crafted. National reciprocity. Yeah, it's got the Fix Nix bill. Fine. You know what? That was our compromise. Have your little peon thing pretending that it actually does something productive. Pretending that it's actually going to make government departments more efficient. Pretending that it's actually going to be beneficial. Go ahead. Have your little thing. But remember what Republicans are doing, and many Republicans that are still holding to their side to defend DACA.
To the 700,000 plus DACA kids, we're not going to leave you behind. We're not going to let this end like it is. And to those who've been desirous of a more secure border, you're going to get your something too.
That was Lindsey Graham before the government shutdown. Don't worry, DACA recipients. We're going to stand next to you. We're not going to let this happen. We're going to keep you here. We're going to fight for you. And all that want immigration enforcement and want the wall built, you're going to get something too, I guess. You'll get something too. This is the negotiation and the tearing of the Republican Party. If we voted on national reciprocity right now, we would not be able to pass it in the Senate. I'm calling it right now. We would not be able to pass it. Even during a midterm election cycle that's going to come up this fall. Even during the time of Republicans needing to unite, needing to rally around one message and being able to move forward in that sense, they wouldn't be able to pass national reciprocity right now. They would have no idea how to pass national reciprocity. Why? Because the Republican Party's broken and they're so eager to compromise and so eager to give up their values. We need to remember what the Republican Party actually stood for. We need to remember what conservatism actually stood for. And yes, let's widen the umbrella of the Republican Party to conservative principles, to Republican values, to limited government. Meaning, remember what the intention of the government actually is. And by the way, we're going to get to the next segment because I know we're running out of time, but we are going to talk about the role of government, the state governments, wanting to start creating gun legislation at the statewide level. Why? I don't know why. Do they have the right to do so? Well, we'll talk about that coming up next. But when Republicans rally, we can actually get something done. But once we say, yeah, go ahead, if we don't do it in your time frame, then we're going to cave to you because, well, it just shows that we didn't get anything done. Give me a break. And if they're so easily swayed on a huge issue like immigration that was actually a campaign talking point for President Trump, for a campaign talking point for many of these Republicans, if they are able to compromise that easily, what are they going to do with your Second Amendment? And then say, we didn't have an ability to change it. We couldn't do anything about it. It wasn't our fault. Oh, well. Guess we'll let the Democrats get their way. Andy Hoosier filling in for Mark Walters. It's Armed American Radio. Lots coming up today. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay here.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. It's crazy. But thanks to our court system, this happens all the time. And that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete firearms and family defense confidence. It's called the USCCA's Complete Firearms and Family Defense Guide, and it's 100% free. Simply go to armedandresponsible.com right now to get instant access. It's that easy, and you'll learn a ton of life-saving information. How to detect attacks before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, the safest and most dangerous places to sit in a restaurant, and a whole lot more. It's 164 pages and comes with a complete audiobook that I did for you so you can listen in your car. It's 100% free, it's life-changing, and for a limited time, you'll also get a bonus gun buying checklist. Don't miss this great opportunity. Visit armedandresponsible.com right now for 100% free instant access. That's free instant access. Again, that's armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
That's what we're talking about. Welcome back into Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Mark Walters out for the day as he's traveling, ready for the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. He's going to be broadcasting there all week. Andy Hoosier filling in today, and it's an honor to be along with you. I always love filling in for Mark as we talk about guns, we talk about Second Amendment, we talk about legislation and the shenanigans of politics. Look, I get it. Politics is a very frustrating, angering situation to be in sometimes, but yet if we don't fight the fight, who's going to? I was taught at a very young age that if you don't do what you need to do, no one else is going to do it for you because, well, they just don't care. And if you're passionate about it, if you feel that you need to do something, then you just have to do it yourself because no one else will. I want to tell you about the way that you can protect yourself. As you know, you defend yourself. You're in a shooting. You defend. You use your personal security. You use your gun. You may be out with your family. You may be in your home, whatever the case is. And in our, thankfully not so much, our left-wing judicial system, they're always out to get you. Any opportunity that they can say that you had an unjustified shooting, they're going to do so, and they're going to incriminate you as opposed to you defending yourself. And you need to know the rules. You need to know how and when and what you should say. You need to know how to properly store your firearm. I've been reading story after story after story about how the number of stolen firearms from gun stores and private homes and wherever you may be, how the guns are being stolen left and right. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But the more it happens, then you need to know how to properly store your firearm. Maybe you have kids running around the house. I've told you that I got a 3-year-old daughter, and she likes to play Marco Polo and like to adventure around the house exploring, and you never know what she could come across. You need to know these things. If you're out in public, what to look for. The signs of what potentially may be danger, where to sit in the restaurant, no matter what the situation may be, protect yourself. You can do so. All you got to do is sign up for armedandresponsible.com. It's free. You can send a guide, the 2018 Complete Firearm and Family Defense Guide. The audiobook is included, and I believe it's voiced by Mark Walters himself. All you got to do is go to armedandresponsible.com. They'll send you the PDF version. You can get your book as well. The audiobook's included. Just go to armedandresponsible.com. Did I mention it's free? It's a free guide for you because this stuff is so important. Armedandresponsible.com, armedandresponsible.com. You want to know how precious your Second Amendment right is? Which it shouldn't be that difficult to defend. It shouldn't be that difficult to protect it, but it is. You want to know how precious it is? Under the Second Amendment, you have the right to keep and bear arms. End of story, period. That should be the end of the discussion, but it's not. Oh, it was 300 years ago. Guns were different then than they are now, and these are more dangerous firearms. Okay, so freedom of speech. We have online social blogging now. Is that more dangerous? Yes, we should start monitoring that. Hashtag fake news. Then you hear about, oh, the magazines are too big. We have too many bullets. We're going to harm ourselves. We need to have less bullets because that wasn't intended for you to carry 30 magazines. What could you possibly use 30 magazines for? Or 30 bullets in the magazine? Why? Because I want to. And I have the right to do so. There are many states now that are beginning to try and regulate these at the statewide level because they realize that the Republicans and the Republican-led federal government is really inactive. Now they're not moving really progressively in the right way either because we're still sitting on national reciprocity. But they realize that it's going to be inactive. The Democrats, for the ones that call themselves progressives, they're really lagging behind about 5-10 years on how to actually get something done productively. I understand that the Barack Obama era really made things challenging for the Democrats because he was such a lightweight when it came to actually understanding the Constitution, understanding the political system, because he was an ideologue. He didn't know the system very well. He was a state senator for 2 years before he ran for, became a U.S. senator, and was a U.S. senator for 90 days before he started campaigning for president. He wasn't into the system that much and for that long and didn't understand how the system actually worked. We need to have someone that understands how the system works. And Republicans figured this out. Republicans figured out that the most action and the most productivity that can be done at the statewide and the local levels. It's very difficult to get anything done at the federal level. We have more watch parties and watch groups and special interests and think tanks and all these other organizations holding the federal government accountable, but very few staunch conservatives make their way to the federal level to fight for those values. It's all done at the statewide levels. Look at how many Republican governors there are across the country. Look at how many state legislators there are across the country. The majority, the vast majority of state legislatures have massive Republican majorities in them. Why? Because we know how to get things done at the state level. Democrats are finally starting to figure this out. They're finally starting to realize that they can actually get something done at the statewide level more productively and quickly than the federal government. And what do you see now? Now you see some states wanting to legalize marijuana. Now you're seeing some states wanting to protect DACA recipients and illegal aliens and saying that the Dreamers are welcome here, which, by the way, is unconstitutional for states even to try and protect. And now you're seeing some of the states go after your guns because they feel they have the right to do so. Now, we need to have a civics lesson, and I understand that the young generation does not get the civics lesson. I understand that civics really isn't taught that much in college or even in school anymore in K through 12, that it's just not taught. And when it is taught, they teach us that we have a democracy, which is the first big fat lie. We do not have a democracy. Every time you hear a legislator at the statewide level or at the federal level or somebody say that they are infringing on our democracy, is first off a complete lie and a falsehood. Let's do some corrections first, shall we? Before we break down the role of government. We are in a constitutional republic. That's the form of government. It's not a democratic republic. It is not a democracy. It is not a socialist nation. It is not a utopia. It is not a dictatorship. It is not a caste system. It is not a king. We are in a constitutional republic, meaning that we have a constitution that is the law of the land, the rule of law. And we have a republic in the sense that we vote on congressmen and women and senators, elected officials to represent us. You ever go to a town hall meeting and you hear all the crying protesters, the bleeding heart libs that talk about how you're not listening to us, you're our congressman or you're a congresswoman and you're not listening and we are the people and the people are rising up, the people are upset. No, it's not true, and don't listen to that garbage. Why? Because a congressman or woman, a congress individual, an elected official under a republic system of government runs and says, this is the platform that I view. This is the platform that I stand on. These are the morals that I have. These are the values that I have. This is what I want to get done. And people like that. So you vote on the person that you most closely get aligned with politically and what their platform is. Then they can go to their constituents as elected officials and say, hey, here's an issue. I'm torn on this, or this is where I stand on it. What's your input? That's great. But if they don't vote or support your way, it's probably because the majority of their constituency and their district told them not to do so. If you have a senator or a congressman or woman that says, I'm going to support national reciprocity, it's probably because the majority of their district actually likes firearms and guns. It's probably because they live in a state to where you actually get to support guns in the Second Amendment. So now that we've clarified exactly what type of government we have, when we come back, we'll talk about what the role of government actually is, and can these states start limiting your gun rights? It's a very scary ordeal. It's a very scary thing because the states are not delegated that power. The one of the very few things the states are not delegated with is taking away your firearms. Andy Hoosier filling in for Mark Walters, the great Mark Walters, as he's out today. Stay right here. Lots more coming up.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back into the program. Mark Walters out for the day as he's traveling out to Las Vegas, and he's traveling right now. Andy Hoosier filling in, hailing from Wichita, Kansas. He's probably flying over us right now from the Heartland area here in Wichita. I'm the morning show host on KQAM, The Big Talker. Appreciate always being able to fill in for Mark when he's out. I love it because we get to have such a great platform talking about the Second Amendment, talking about the guns, and ways to educate ourselves both politically, strategically, gun information, legally, however we want to look at it, all across the board, to fend off the legal system, to fend off the progressives, to fend off the legislation, and to fend off bad guns. Really, honestly, let's be clear. Which, I don't know a bad gun out there, but nonetheless, if there is one, then you'll be able to spot it just like that, because Mark Walters is the master at being able to talk about all this. Welcome back into the program. As we discussed in the last segment, the role of government, and first off, the type of government that we have, and I'm trying to find an analogy to describe this. When it comes to state and federal power, and we truly need to understand this, so that way, when legislation comes up like this in your state, you can say, wait a second, that's not going to fly here. It's not going to be okay. And we need to find a way to end this absurdity. And here's the story, first off, and I know Mark's talked about this as well, because it's kind of been the new big trend. You've talked about how we've tried to attack the gun legislation at different angles, at different ways, chipping away at it as the progressives try and find ways to reverse your gun rights. This is the new thing, and it's blowing up like hotcakes here. This is what they're trying to do. Supporters of stricter gun regulations see opportunities for victories in state legislatures this year after some Republicans showed they would be willing to break with the National Rifle Association in order to support some new restrictions. Advocates note that Massachusetts and New Jersey bump stocks were banned in bills passed by Democratic legislatures and signed by Republican governors. Not vetoed, but signed by Republican governors, meaning they're starting to partner up on this. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. They're going to override my veto anyways. We're going to branch away from this. We're going to protect our own state. Whatever the federal government does, we're going to protect our states. That's their mindset. And remember, the 10th Amendment, the idea of the states having power, it's really been the big movement lately. The Article 5 Convention of States that many states are starting to get on board with, trying to hold the federal government accountable, is a great movement. But that's not the only way we can stop the feds. That's not the only way that the federal government is powerless to the states and state sovereignty. Because remember, we do have state sovereignty. We always have had state sovereignty. And as long as we practice it, we will always have state sovereignty. But that's not the way that we view government nowadays. And now that they're starting to target the states when it comes to gun restrictions, if we do that, then there's no hope. Because no matter what the Constitution says with the Second Amendment, with your right to keep and bear arms, period, end of story, they're not going to care. Yeah, but then the rest of the power is delegated to the states, and we can decide what we're going to do with our own safety. So we're going to ban bump stocks. We're going to ban large magazines like Colorado did for a while. We're going to ban certain types of weapons. We're going to ban the smart weapons with a nice little fingerprint identification to activate your firearm. We're going to start putting the sensors on there. We're going to ban all the different accessories, and we're just going to ban the gun outright. This is the movement that they're on. States are really taking the lead on banning these weapons in the face of congressional inaction, according to Robin Lloyd, the director of government affairs at the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. There's a growing acknowledgement and recognition that we have gun safety problems in this country, and there are common sense solutions. Notice the keyword common sense. There it is, common sense solution. That's what they're all about. Let me ask you something, and I'm trying to find the perfect analogy for this. Let's say you're a business owner and let's say you're a restaurant owner and you have a cashier that you hire, and the cashier is the one that takes the money in and gives the change out and takes the orders to be able to send it back to the cooks in the back. And let's say that they all of a sudden start delegating their own power, because you have, as the business owner, have delegated that responsibility and that power to that cashier. That's what you hired them for. That's their purpose. They're supposed to stay in their little cubicle spot right there by the cashier's desk and take the orders and take the money and give receipts. That's it. And maybe a few other duties here and there. But they all of a sudden want to start delegating themselves some new powers. All of a sudden, hey, I'm going to start going to the back and cooking too. Hey, I'm going to go back and fry up that burger for you as well. Is that right? Not if you didn't delegate that power. You already hired the cook for that. They're abusing their power. Hey, well, you know what? But, you know, even though I started delegating myself my own role of cooking and doing the cashier stuff, I'm going to start taking some money out of the cash register. You don't have the right to take that. Well, I do, because I delegated myself another authority by being able to be the fry cook at the same time as the cashier. And that way I can start giving myself a little bit of supplemental income because I delegated that stuff to me. No, you're fired. You're not allowed to do that. Does that mean that you no longer are allowed to have a cashier? No, you took that responsibility away from them. If you're a baseball player and the coach is telling you something, and then the managers higher up are trying to tell you something as well, and the coach says, no, I don't want you to listen to the manager. I want you to listen directly to me, the coach, because you respond to me. The coach has delegated himself that authority. Is that right or is that wrong? Well, that depends on if the owners and the managers above want to actually listen, because they delegated that power to that coach. That's the way the states of the federal government work. The states are sovereign. And when they created that compact of the Constitution, it said that they're all going to abide by specific rules, meaning that the Constitution gives the federal government very limited specific powers that are delegated to the federal government. And if you notice and you read the Constitution, it gives them very specific duties of you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that, you're allowed to do this. And all of them, by the way, are pretty much foreign affairs and foreign relations. Creating treaties, starting wars, regulating international commerce, making trade deals, which includes, by the way, immigration. All these other states that are trying to defend their dreamers and the illegal aliens, that is not one of the few powers not delegated to the states. I saw a story about how the federal government's going to start rounding up and arresting these elected officials in the states trying to protect them. Good, because that is not an authority delegated to the states in any way, shape, or form. They're not allowed to. That's foreign relations right there, someone coming in and out of the country. That's delegated to the federal government. Everything else really is delegated to the states. Marijuana, I don't like marijuana personally, but if you want to legalize it in your state, that's your own prerogative. The state should have the say in that. Guns is another one that the states do not have the constitutional authority to regulate or delegate. Because there's something at the very beginning of the Constitution called the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights preserves rights to the citizens. And one duty of the federal government is supposed to preserve those inalienable rights of the people protected under the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Right to freedom of expression, right to freedom of religion, right to freedom of speech, right to freedom of keep and bear arms, right to privacy, right to private property, right to it goes on and on and on, all the way to the 10th Amendment, to where, hey, everything not delegated in the rest of the Constitution, Articles 1 through whatever, and all the amendments and everything along with it, delegated to the federal government, then they are reserved to the states to make that decision. And tricky, nice little amendment number 2 says the right of the people to keep and bear arms, meaning that all of the power that the states have, one thing they are not allowed to do is abuse their power and take away your right to keep and bear arms. Because if they do that, and they're taking away the bump stock, and they're taking away this regulation, and they're implementing this regulation, and they're taking away this accessory, and taking away that accessory, what else are they going to take away? If the Second Amendment's off and you can do whatever you want to with it, then they're going to come back and say as well, you're not allowed to write in the paper. You're not allowed to say this on the radio. You're not allowed to say this and go to church the way that you want to. Why? Because the Second Amendment's not protected. The First Amendment's not going to either. You're not going to be protected when you go to court. You're not going to be protected with your private property. Why? Because we told you to, because the state apparently has authority that it was never delegated, when the federal government's duty, one of the few duties, is to protect those rights of the people. Not protected classes, but protect specific rights for all people that are within the U.S. What else are they going to take away? It's a scary ordeal, ain't it? It's a scary ordeal. The abuse of power at the state level is now running rampant because they see the opportunity. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Mark Walters. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Let me ask you a question. If you have a obesity issue in your city, everybody likes to go to the cake shop and likes to eat the cake because it's really, really good. What do you do? Do you pass legislation to ban the cake shop to where they're not allowed to sell cake? Or do you teach people about the threats and the dangers of obesity? That's really what we're discussing here with the Second Amendment, with the states wanting to ban it. We have crime rates. Oh, the crime's going up. People are using guns all over the place to shoot people and do bad things with. Okay, do you take away the guns? Do you teach people about the safety of using the gun? And do you actually focus on the family values? I always find it interesting. By the way, welcome back in Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Mark Walters out for the day as he's traveling, getting ready to go to Las Vegas for the Big Shot Show. It's going to be great. Andy Hoosier filling in here for one more segment. I always find it interesting. You always hear about the issue, let's say, like child services, social services at the state level. And how there's more kids going into the social service programs, whatever state you're in, and we need more money for social services. We need more money to be able to take kids away from the family. And it's the community that raises the child, right? It's what we always hear. And instead of increasing the money for the issue that the fact that the families are being broken and torn apart, more families are being incarcerated because they're committing crimes, more things happening, and that we need more social services to take care of the kids, why don't we, instead of just putting a bigger Band-Aid on the problem, we actually address the issue at the first place? The family values. The happy family. So that way you don't need the government in the first place to try and take the kids away from the family. I know it's a wild concept, but that's really what we have to look at here when these states, the absolute blatant violation of individual rights, of saying that, well, the federal government's not going to do anything. What happens if they do pass national reciprocity here relatively soon? And the states are like, we ain't doing that. We're not accepting that. It's a federal guideline. And one thing that you do have is the right to bear arms. It's the federal right. It is your inalienable right protected by the Constitution that is the supreme law of the land. And the few things that the federal government is allowed to do, I know I went deep into the weeds in the last segment trying to explain this, but it's so important because if you live in a state where they're trying to pass this legislation, it's unconstitutional. They're not allowed to. They shouldn't even be touching it. On the other side of the spectrum, I know many states are trying to protect it and reinforce it. Here in Kansas, we had what was called the Second Amendment Protection Act that said, other than the Second Amendment that says you have the right to keep and bear arms, we're going to set gun guidelines at the state level. And at the state, we said that we're going to allow any type of manufacturing, selling, buying, or trading of gun accessories that were manufactured in the state of Kansas that are bought and are going to remain in the state of Kansas to go unlicensed and unregistered at the federal level. And the federal government did not like that. And they came down on it and said, sorry, Article 6 of the Supremacy Clause says that we get to overpower you. And when we create federal guidelines, then we get to tell you what's up. And that is a blatant violation of the federal government's power. On the other side of it, under the 10 amendments, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, that gives you protected rights that the federal government's supposed to be protecting without anything else, then the states are going to come back and say, yeah, we're going to start repealing the Second Amendment at the statewide level. We're going to regulate what you can and cannot do. Can you imagine the blatant violation of that? That's like saying you're not allowed to go to church anymore because that church has some radicals living there. And radicals, I mean like a Christian church to where you have radical people that just like to stay home and not live with electricity because they want to live that radically. Like Amish or Mennonites to some degree. That's what they're saying, that we don't like it and you're causing issues, so therefore we're going to ban you. A right to religion. Can you imagine that? The absolute abuse of this. If you have high crime rates, then why don't you address the high crime rates? Like, for instance, the fact that we have a massive explosion of individuals robbing gun stores, robbing individual homes, and stealing their firearms. I saw a story today by Dave Workman that I thought was brilliant that really makes you think. Futility of background check laws. Why? Bloomberg News reports Friday that gun store robberies have increased by an alarming 227% since 2013, and burglaries have spiked 71% during the same period, raising the question whether so-called universal background check laws are a feel-good exercise of futility. And it really makes you think, doesn't it? If we have law-abiding citizens purchasing guns, going through the universal background check, going through the system, getting the check and the okay from the federal government saying, yes, you comply with what the standards we set to you allow you to practice your Second Amendment rights, here's your license to buy a firearm. Here's your right to buy that firearm. You buy the firearm. You're so excited. And what happens? Someone breaks into your home and steals it. Then they go and use that firearm to commit a crime. It's not your fault. What are you going to do? Start banning guns altogether because we don't know who has the gun and who doesn't have the gun? We don't know if someone that's actually committing the crime is committing it with a legit registered firearm or a stolen firearm. Oh, no, we're just going to get rid of all the firearms. Why don't you address the real issue? The fact that people want to break the law and steal the gun and then want to go commit a crime with it. It's like if you did your homework. Remember in school, you did your homework, you busted your hump, you studied, you did really well, you were doing your test, and the person behind you starts looking over your shoulder and stealing the answers. And then they're the one that turns it in first before you get a chance to because they wrote their name faster, turned it into the teacher, they get the top grade, and they're now the teacher's pet. They're now the one that the teacher loves because they did so well on it. There's always going to be those individuals that like to try and cut the corners, like to abuse the rules, like to abuse the power just a little bit, and welcome to the criminality of society. Now, what are you going to do to punish that? Are you going to punish the individuals that have bought the gun legitimately? Are you going to try and educate those, to try and ones that did buy the gun legitimately, try and teach them how to protect their firearms, how to secure them? Or are you going to go after the ones that actually committed the crime in the first place and say, you weren't supposed to have that gun, I guess we better punish you even to a more extreme extent because you weren't supposed to have the gun in the first place? But if we do that, what are we talking about increased background checks for? If we do that, then what's the point of having the background check? Because all you're going to do is wait for the legitimate one to purchase the gun through the background check and then steal it once they get it. It's a very interesting conversation. Activists frustrated at increasing erosion of their Second Amendment rights have been grumbling from one end of the country to the other that criminals don't buy guns, they steal the guns. Texas gun licensees lost more firearms and burglaries last year, 769 total, followed by 456 in Alabama and 427 in both Colorado and Georgia. That's a big decrease for Georgia, which topped the state's 1,069 such stolen firearms the year prior in 2015. With guns being stolen, get this, according to the latest data, they found 79% of all crimes, the perpetrator carrying the firearm, it was owned by somebody else. It wasn't owned by the perpetrator. They stole the gun because guess what? They're committing a crime. I know it's a big shocker for some. I know it's a wild shocker for some to believe that the one that's actually out committing a crime, committing a homicide, committing a burglary, wanting to come after you with a gun, that they would actually abide by the laws. Mark does a great job of talking about the signs. No drinks or food allowed in studio. Yeah. How's that work out? Don't steal my gun to commit a crime, please. Oh, okay. Don't use the gun to commit a crime, please. Oh, okay. Don't have any human trafficking. Oh, okay. Don't buy drugs on the black market. Oh, okay. How does that work out? And instead of actually putting more stringent laws in place that's just going to make it more difficult for normal people to live their life, why don't we actually go after the ones with crime? Why don't we actually go after that? That's what we need to focus on. All this political smoke and mirrors about them wanting to create more regulation, create more laws, wanting to do more things, it does nothing for us. All it does is make it more difficult for you and I to live our normal lives, express our freedoms, express our rights, because we don't understand our constitutional rights. We don't understand the form of government. We don't understand what rights we have to protect ourselves from big government, and apparently even at the state level, at the federal level. We need to be able to understand that and protect ourselves, because that way we can actually live in a free and prosperous and liberty-providing society. Andy Hoosier always filling in for Mark Walters. It's great to be able to do so. I love it. Mark will be back tomorrow as he's going to be broadcasting from Las Vegas. It's a great time. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Have a great day, everybody.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
What are you cooking tonight? Yo, what's up? This is AAR Shanto, and as you know, like Mark, I have a passion for our gun rights. I also have a passion for great cooking, and I want to invite you to my new Facebook page. There you will get to see and hear what's new in the culinary world. Just go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio or search for Try This Dish Radio on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/trythisdishradio, and remember, it's all about the food.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.